Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus. On day 7 of our year of the Bible, now the Lord created creation in 6 days. On the 7th day, he rested, but there's no there's no rest, I guess, for our 365-day Bible challenge. So, year of the Bible carries on almost halfway through the book of Genesis, and the close of what we sometimes called the Abrahamic cycle. The life of Abraham ends in today's reading. Just want to mention a couple things quickly about today's reading. The main event, kind of like the main event is the birth of Jacob and Esau. And the selling of the birthright and all that kind of stuff. But before that happens, we have Isaac, and we get the death of Abraham. And then, like, one thing I want to point out about the death of Abraham, when Abraham dies, I mentioned yesterday about how God takes care of Hagar and Ishmael. When Abraham dies, do you note how there it says, and Isaac and Ishmael buried him? Isn't that wonderful? In the same grave as Sarah, same tomb as Sarah. I thought when I read that, I was like, oh, look at that. You know, what were their relations like? Who knows? There were more. Abraham had other children, but Isaac and Ishmael at least got together then. So that was very good. But before he dies, he sends his servant, Abraham does, sends his servant to go find a wife for Isaac, sends him back to his home country, but back to Abraham's home country. The idea, it sounds like, being that he doesn't want Isaac. They want to maintain their separateness from the Canaanites, right? They want to maintain their separateness from the Canaanites. So he sends his servant off to go find, Rebecca. Just want to point out one sort of interesting thing about that. You see sort of the beginning and the end when you look at this speech that Abraham has when he talks to his servant, Eleazar of Damascus, maybe. He's talking to his servant, and if you remember the very first word, because it's the speaking to the servant, they're the last words that we get from Abraham, right? We've heard from Abraham a good bit. These are the last words that we hear from Abraham, and he says, here's what's going to happen. He makes him take this oath. Go find a wife for Isaac. And this is how it's going to go. The Lord is going to do this and this and this so that you'll find, a non-Canaanite wife for Isaac. He calls on the God of heaven and the God of earth, right? The Lord, the one God who is the God of heaven and earth. Makes us, and all this. You see some trust there in Abraham. Now, those are the last words of Father Abraham. Now, the first words of Father Abraham are something like, "What do you mean?" And like, "Are you sure?" But these last words of his are much more. They're much more faithful. I mean, they're much more sort of confident that God will keep his promises. And so I just point that out to say, like, you see this more. These Old Testament characters, they're not static, right? Like, you see Abraham's faithfulness develop over the course of the book of Genesis. Right? He starts out one way, he ends up another way. He starts out going, are you sure? How am I going to know? What's going to happen? All this kind of stuff. And he ends by saying to Eleazar of Damascus, here's what's going to happen. I might not be around to see it, And he knew he probably wouldn't be, or at least it looks like he knew he wouldn't be. But this is what's going to happen because God has promised it. And I just point that out because sort of one of the things that I think about a lot is, you know, we encounter, you know, some people say, oh, such and such is a believer, such and such is not a believer, you know, or this, or, ooh, they're this kind of person, that kind of person. The Hebrew Bible, at least, certainly the New Testament, but the Hebrew Bible, you know, even as we're introduced to these characters, they believe that people can change, and that their stories are not over. And if you look at any one, you know, you can take one snapshot and maybe it's like this or maybe it's like that. But things change. And you see that kind of development in Abraham from his first words in the Bible, which are very, what should we say, dubious. Why don't we say that? Dubious through his sort of not, you know, believing completely that Sarah is going to be able to bear the child and all this kind of stuff, to his sort of proclamation of belief here at the end. So just wanted to point that out. The servant does go to go find a wife for Isaac among Abraham's kindred, right? Remember the kindred that he had left, and goes and finds Rebecca. Rebecca is given a lot of love in the book of Genesis, as was Sarah. You know, Sarah was very much presented as, very much the matriarch of Israel, and so is Rebecca. And I talk about how beautiful she is and all this kind of stuff, and she's clever and all this kind of stuff. She's a little bit too clever. So he goes and finds Rebecca, meets Laban, Rebecca's sister, Rebecca's brother, and brings her back. Now they, and it's all very peaceful. It seems to be. Rebecca gets a choice. Do you want to go? Do you not want to go? Says, nope. Looks like the Lord has called it. So there's a faithfulness in Rebecca as well. Then you get the story of Jacob and Esau, the birth of Jacob and Esau. And the thing I want to say about them first is about their conception. Begin at the beginning, if you will. Did you notice that Rebecca was quote unquote barren? She was described as barren. And if you follow the biblical chronology, they were married for 20 years before she conceived. Now, Sarah, you know, they started talking about conception when Sarah was of advanced age, but Rebecca was not. Rebecca was young and yet not able to conceive for 20 years. And they prayed. But look how there was no discussion. Abraham's still alive in the story. I mean, his death's already been reported, but according to the biblical chronology, he's still alive. You can just imagine that, well, you can hope that somebody is saying, you know, Isaac's got some voice in his head saying, you know, the covenant has been made, the promise has been promised, and it will, that doesn't mean that they weren't upset about it, but there's no talk about Hagar, there's no talk about, you know, concubine or any of that kind of stuff. They stuck with the plan. And so when she's not able to conceive, what does she do? It says, Rebecca went to the Lord to inquire of him, right? Which is fantastic. She went and she spoke to the Lord, and the Lord said, you're going to have these children. Jacob and Esau, twins, right? So she goes to the Lord, and the Lord tells her, you're going to have children. In fact, you're going to have two. You're going to have two, and they're going to be fathers of nations as well. Jacob and Esau, the one who is born first, and so he should be the older brother. Jacob, the one who is born second, and so should be the younger brother. Esau, a hunter, whose venison stew apparently Isaac took a hankering to, Jacob, the pastoralist, right? The one who stuck closer to the tents and who was a wholesome man, is the way some of the translations go. He's a wholesome man. But clearly, so the, you know, you don't know what, who knew. Now, Rebecca had been told the elder brother will serve the younger back when, you know, at the time of their conception. Did she tell Jacob? Who knows? We don't know. All we know is Jacob wants that birthright, and he considers it his right, if you will. And so he does this kind of tricky thing where he I don't know. Esau is presented as boorish, uncouth. He's a hunter. The language he uses, he wants to gulp down some of that red stuff. Turned out to be lentil stew. Did he know it was lentil stew, or did he think it was game? Who knows? But the way it's presented makes it sound like there's a little bit of duplicity in that as well. And in that way, and so Esau agrees to trade his birthright, to spurn or despise his birthright, so he can get a cup of that red stuff. And so then Jacob walks away with Esau's. With the birthright that was his by right. Now look, there's more that will be said about this, but again, you see this sort of lack of romanticization of the patriarchs. I mean, there's a lot to, you know, there's a lot to admire, but like this particular episode is one you're like, I don't know, like it's not necessarily something that you'd want to go around bragging about, and yet it's part of the history. So the Esau, they became the Edomites, and Jacob, of course, became Israel. The two nations that were periodically at war with each other, coexisting and everything. Was there some, you know, in these scriptures, is there some memory of an ancient, you know, shared heritage? Maybe so. Edomites doesn't look like made it too much longer, but they're there in the Old Testament for sure, and they get talked about all the time, and they get talked about as well as wicked, to be honest. We get more weird wife kidnapping sister situations tomorrow. I don't know. It's all weird. Some of it, doesn't it sometimes come off kind of like a soap opera? But it is indeed the word of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Happy reading.